listening to the Night and Day podcast, featuring the interview archives of Western New York music writer Tom Jennings. Tom has interviewed some of the biggest names in music and entertainment, and now you can enjoy these never-before-heard interviews. Here is your host, Tom Jennings.
Hello, and thank you for joining me once again. This is your host, Tom Jennings, Night and Day. I'm a music writer in the Buffalo, Niagara region. This week, I have a quick interview with Butch Vig. Butch is known for a lot of things. He's the drummer of the band Garbage, who is coming to town for a show at Art Park with Blondie. It was a very successful tour. At one point, it was a triple bill with Blondie, X, and Garbage. Butch is going to talk about the first time he met Shirley Manson. He'll talk about his production work with Nirvana. And in case you didn't recognize the name, he is the producer of the iconic Nevermind album. I definitely had a few friends that were excited that I was going to be talking to Butch. I think the interview, even though it's kind of short, it came out pretty well. But without any further ado, a nice short and sweet interview with the legendary Butch Vig.
Hey, Tom, you are on with Butch.
All right, great. Hey, Butch. Tom's
hey, Tom.
Very nice to chat with you. You're quite an iconic guy in the music world. A lot of my friends were real thrilled I'd be speaking with you today.
Oh, well, that's cool, man. Thanks for saying that.
I want to start out, and we'll touch on some of your production work and whatnot, but we'll start with Garbage. And I actually interviewed Chris Stein from Blondie, and he had a lot of great things to say about you guys. Kind of wondering, obviously, you and Blondie have some kind of a relationship, but wondering, you know, maybe what type of influence they were on you before you got into the music industry, and what were your thoughts when you heard you guys were going to be touring together?
Well, we were over the moon. We heard we could tour together. I mean, I'm a huge Blondie fan. All of us in Garbage are, and Shirley and Debbie Harry have been good friends for many years. So, you know, it's cool to go out and walk on stage and play with not just with Debbie Harry, but to see Debbie Harry and Xene from X and also Shirley Manson from Garbage are three incredibly iconic female singers in bands, and there aren't that many rock singers, female rock singers out there these days. You know, there's a lot of pop singers or wannabe pop singers, or R&B, you know, or Taylor Swift wannabes, but there's just not that many rockers out there. And, you know, Blondie had a lot of amazing, they had a killer run through the 80s and amazing songs, but they had some killer pop songs, but also just some of the rock and roll in those first two records is fantastic. So when you come to the show, you're going to hear a lot of Blondie hits, you know, and you're going to hear a lot of Garbage hits. And I think that's it's for hardcore fans of either band. I think it's going to be a pretty special night.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting you mentioned. I don't think we're getting X on this on this particular show. I know it's you and Blondie.
Oh, but, you're not? Okay, cool. I can't. I thought they were on maybe not, but I thought they were doing that run.
Yeah,
oh, sorry, I supposed to help to edit me out there. Sorry.
No worries, man. I was always a big fan of Xene too. It's nice. I mean, those guys got split up and they got back together, so it was really cool. But yeah, I mean, you really touched on a great point though about the lack of female rock singers. I think country music's kind of going through the same thing today. And I mean, was there any reservations maybe when you were forming a band to go with a female singer? Was that on your radar, or was it just that Shirley was the right person at the right time?
Well, we had decided that we wanted a female singer. You know, I'd been in bands for years, some of them with Duke and Steve, and they were always men. And we just decided it would be cool to work with a female singer. And we, you know, we had no intention of Garbage being a full-time band. We, you know, once Shirley joined us and we made the record, then we went on tour, and then we realized that there was something special going on, you know, between the four of us. And that now it's 20 plus years later, you know, that we have six albums and we've done a lot of tour. We've played over 1,000 shows worldwide, and we're working on a new record right now. So we're, you know, for not knowing what we're going to do moving forward, once Shirley joined us, we became Garbage wholeheartedly and to kind of swallowed us up, but in a good way.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, it seems like you've all been able to kind of do your own thing as well. So garbage hasn't been the thing that's sort of been the life suck out of you. Has that been maybe part of the reason that you guys are able to stay together and maybe have avoided some of those tensions where other artists split and have to go do their own thing and don't come back to the mothership, so to speak?
Yeah, you know, we're very lucky that we're still here. I think one of the reasons is that we have always shared everything, co-writing, co-producing. We all have equal say in everything, all the business decisions, our artwork. And so it's an equal opportunity band from a variety of angles. You know, I can come in as a musician. I can come in as a songwriter, as an engineer, producer. I could come in and decide what we're going to have for dinner, what kind of wine we're going to drink. Or let somebody else take that, you know, take those decisions in hand. We've been a very democratic band, and we're also friends. So I think that's one of the reasons that we're still around, that we like each other, you know, but we respect each other. And it's not always easy, but, you know, I think now anytime we run into obstacles within the band, we just seem to roll right over them because, life is short, and we just sort of, as Shirley says, it's not a hill I'm going to die on, you know, just there's too many things to worry about to get caught up in arguing about some trivial thing in a song or whatever it is. So we stay pretty focused on what garbage is. And then we're, you know, we have this new book coming out, A Oral History on the Band, this summer, and which we're very excited about. And we're also working on a new record, and we have a new single coming out in July too. We're shooting the video for it on Monday.
Well, that's fantastic. You know, I'm time short. If I didn't touch on your production work, I'd probably lose 3/4 of my friends. So a couple of quick stuff. Nirvana, Smashing Pumpkins. I mean, I don't even know where to begin. You look back over your career, never mind probably the largest selling project that you ever worked on. I mean, what was the most gratifying? And was that potentially the most gratifying just because of the success of it all?
I'm not really that objective. When you're making a record, you're just immersed in it. Nevermind obviously changed my life. I mean, it was fast. It was just 16 days, you know, and then I moved on, and I did Siamese Dream. That took almost 6 months. That was a really, really difficult album to make. And when I finish a record, I just sort of jump into the next one, you know, so I don't put on records that I've made. You know, I don't sit around the house and go, I think I'll listen to Nevermind today. I mean, I hear it all the time anyway. It gets played on the radio or in clubs and wherever, you know, it has a whole life unto itself. But it did change my life. You know, Nevermind opened up all these doors for me. Garbage wouldn't be here if I hadn't done Nevermind, because I just had all these opportunities once Nevermind happened. And one of those was the ability to start my own band. And I did. And now I'm still rocking with Garbage. I met Shirley, by the way, the day Kurt Cobain died.
Wow.
Which is a very strange but true. Duke and I and Steve flew to England, and we sat down and had lunch with her. And we spent like 2 or 3 hours sort of talking about the idea of the band and some song ideas, and just to see if there was a vibe or some chemistry. And we really got along well. And then I went back I went out to dinner to meet some friends, they were all looking at me, and they said, Kurt, have you heard the news? Kurt died. And I just was like, holy shit. And I said, man, I got to go. And I just went back to my hotel and booked a flight and flew back to the U.S. So it was strange, but it's true. It's like the passing of the guard. That was one part of my life. And then Garbage started. That's another part of my life.
Wow. I mean, that's an incredible story. It's kind of like a spiritual passing of the baton or the torch or whatever, so to speak. And what was it like? I mean, you wound up getting back together with Dave Grohl. I think it was on Wasting Light, and you did some work with him. Was it bittersweet? I mean, Kurt Cobain obviously is not somebody I knew, or what a lot of people were really touched by that loss. I mean, was there a presence over there when you were working with Dave again, or was it just something that you kind of, you know, you just had to deal with?
Well, I mean, before we did Wasting Light, I can't remember if it was before or after. Nevermind had its 20th anniversary, and for the first time, Dave and Chris and I sat down and we did a lot of interviews, so, you know, like official interviews. And it was good to sort of talk about it, you know, go back and just tell stories and anecdotes, and because it's fun, it's some of the crazy shit that was happening around the band that time. You know, we did Wasting Light. That was just a great album to do because we did it on tape, recorded on analog tape. We did it over Dave's garage. Here in his garage, we set up a little studio upstairs from the garage. And, you know, Chris came down and played on one of the songs, I Should Have Known. And that song very much is about Kurt, or at least that's one of the things that song is about. And so it was pretty intense to have Chris come in and play bass on it, and just whatever. It's just great to have him in the studio that day. And that record, man, that was so much fun. You know, that was filmed. The whole thing was filmed for a documentary on the Foos, and then that got Dave inspired. Then I worked with him on Sound City and then on Sonic Highways, and both incredibly great experiences. Dave's a good friend of mine. I just love working with him. And those were incredible experiences. Sonic Highways is one of the most interesting and funnest projects I've ever done. It was incredible.
Well, I've got time for one more question. I'm going to try to jam it into two questions into one. But, you know, analog, you mentioned analog versus digital. I also had a friend of mine who was curious about your influences. He sort of felt that there may have been a kind of a Phil Spector influence because of sort of the feel and sound of some of your records. So, again, kind of double question. What do you prefer, analog or digital, or do you just kind of work with what you work with? And then secondarily, was a guy like Phil Spector somebody who was an influence on your approach to production?
Well, I wouldn't say really Phil Spector was that much of an influence. I thought his record sounded amazing. I really early on looked at some of those classic records, like from the Rolling Stones and Beatles, is just sounding amazing, especially the Beatles, because the production level was so high and just the sonic quality, what they're doing and the arrangements was, it just raised the bar higher than anyone expected. I really kind of came of age listening to punk and new wave, because that's where I felt like it was close. I could do that. I could make records like that. I could be in bands like that. You know, I felt that like that was more on my turf. You know, I loved the records by Steve Lillywhite and Todd Rundgren, and God, there's so many great producers from that era. Chris Thomas, you know, who did the Sex Pistols and the Pretenders, just an incredible producer. What was the other question?
Analog versus digital, as far as, you know, Wasting Light, you went back to analog.
Yeah, that's it. I started out in analog. I cut my teeth, you know, on tape. I was the king of razor blade editing, man. I could take a bunch of different takes and put them together and make a really excellent take out of the four average takes. But when the digital revolution happened, I mean, I embraced that wholeheartedly. I've always been a gearhead. I'm always interested in whatever new technology is bringing to the table. I don't really think there's anything good or bad about either. I mean, they're both great at what they do. I mean, analog has a sound to it, and if you like that sound, it's great. It also requires that you know, if you're sticking to tape entirely, that you have to really get focused on performance, which I kind of like, because everything can be manipulated inside a computer. But one of the things I like about digital is its ability to just cut and paste things. Like, you take a section of a song and go, you know what, let's put the chorus here. You just cut it and you can hear it. Whereas it was really to try and do arrangement changes and things like that, you know, sonic things in the past and analog was really time consuming. And now you just do it with the, you know, hitting your mouse. And so I like that flexibility, because it's just a great, digital is an amazing creative tool in terms of writing. And they both sound good sonically. It just depends on, you know, what you like, or they're just different apples and oranges, really.
Yeah, well, great answer. Well, listen, I can't thank you enough. We're excited to have a couple legends on stage again. Sorry we're missing X-Scene, but on this particular show. But it's a great venue. I cover it for the newspaper out here, and I'm sure you're going to have a wonderful time while you're out here. And hopefully you'll get a chance to catch the falls and maybe eat some chicken wings while you're in the Buffalo area.
Right on. I will, man. Appreciate you talking to me, man. Thank you very much.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you so much.
Cool. We'll see you this summer.
Yep.
Bye-bye.
Well, there you have it. Hope you enjoyed that interview with Butch Vig. Thought he came up with some pretty cool stuff there. I, for one, was surprised that he mentioned Todd Rundgren as being one of his influences as a producer. I'm a huge Todd Rundgren fan, as anybody who knows me will tell you. And Butch being from a slightly different generation with Garbage, it was kind of neat that he brought up the name and didn't even have to solicit it from him. Anyhow, hope you'll continue listening. I'll be posting episodes periodically. We'll try to keep them at about once a week. If you have any comments, the contact information is in the show notes. And I look forward to having you come back. And once again, just want to thank everyone that takes the time to listen to these podcasts. And we really appreciate your support. We're still waiting for our first review out there. So if somebody would be kind enough to put out a good review for us, we would appreciate that as well. In the meantime, I'll see you at my next concert.